Golf Smarter number 652 is brought to you by Peter Millar Golf. Stay tuned to hear how you can get complimentary shipping and a free golf cap at petermillar.com/golfsmarter. That's Millar, M-I-L-L-A-R, petermillar.com/golfsmarter. The Four Principles of Correct Putting with Patrick Parrish, 2016 NCPGA Teacher of the Year.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing stories, tips, and insights from great golf minds to help you lower your score and raise your golf IQ. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Patrick.
Hi, Fred. How are you?
I'm doing well. Great to have you back on the show. It's been a while since we've seen each other. Our first recording was together, face-to-face, with Shane.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that. That was fun.
A lot of fun. Right. And we were talking about, it was the introduction of Live View Golf, which was like no one had heard of it yet, and now it seems to be gaining some traction. Give me an update about Live View Golf.
Absolutely. We just came out with a Live View Golf Plus camera. Before it was the Classic, now we have the Plus, which is 60 frames per second versus 20 frames. It also comes out with some other added features, like you can email your swings to your coach or to a friend or something like that. It was also granted Golf Digest Editor's Choice Best Camera for 2017, so we're really tickled about it, and it's doing really well.
We have
some great guys on our advisory board, like Martin Hall, James Siekman, Dave Phillips from TPI, and James Siekman was just awarded the National PGA Teacher of the Year Award. So
Wow. We
got some great guys on board.
That's amazing. Congratulations. And 60 frames per second is a huge difference from 20 frames.
Yeah, obviously it's three times as much, so you're going to see a lot more detailed. I mean, it still won't pick up the flex in the shaft and all that sort of thing, but that's not the purpose of the camera. The purpose of the camera is really just to give somebody a feel of what the motion is so they can practice perfectly. And that's what we're all about, is practicing perfectly so you get a kinesthetic awareness. And like Martin Hall says, it's like having eyes in the back of your head.
Well, you know, 60 frames per second, you can still slow it down. You can get some nice slow-mo at it, but you're right. You won't see the flex of the shaft, and you need 240 frames a second for that.
Yeah.
Or beyond that.
So the great thing about it is you're getting instant feedback. So you're there practicing in front of the camera, got your iPad in front of you, and then you can see yourself. You can draw lines and circles and video your swing, and then you just track those lines and what you're trying to achieve, and then you just progress so much more rapidly because you're not having to look up at a mirror or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we have the video feature too.
Which is what?
I mean, the email capability as well.
Oh, right. We have some video, and we were down there together. We shot some video. So we have video on Golf Smarter TV if anyone wants to check that out on YouTube, see what Live View Golf in its infancy stages was. Is the packaging different? I mean, is there any major difference other than the internal stuff?
Hardware? The packaging is a lot more slick, and it's beautiful packaging. I know we talked about that, and yeah, it looks really sharp.
That's great.
Take a look at it sometime at liveviewgolf.com.
Okay, liveviewgolf.com. We'll write that down. And then also, since we last spoke, you've had some accolades thrown in your direction for your teaching prowess. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
What am I talking about here?
I was lucky enough or fortunate to gain the honor of NCPGA Teacher of the Year for 2016. And then just recently I was nominated for the same award again, as well as Youth Player Development and the Patriot Award and also the Horton Smith Award.
What's the Patriot Award?
The Patriot Award is your contribution toward veterans. So I've taught some veterans and helped them out, and also I've donated my time during the we had Patriot Day here at Poppy Hill, so I gave a free playing lesson as well as a round of golf at Nicholas Club Monterey.
Very nice. Good for you. Congratulations. That's great.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Really nice to be recognized.
It's a real
like
honor.
That. Yeah, it is. Teacher
a
of the year.
A lot of work, actually. You got to put in a lot of paperwork.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah. I'm kind of detail-oriented, so I want to make sure I give the best presentation, too.
Yeah. Well, still, being recognized Teacher of the Year, there's a lot of teachers out there. This isn't a national thing, though, right? This is regionally?
Well, first you have to win the Northern California section, and then from there you're nominated toward the national. Mm-hmm. And there's minimum requirement. There's another minimum requirements as well there. So you have to be a PGA member for at least 10 years before you can be nominated or thrown in the hat for the national award.
Oh, wow. Was not aware of that. That's great. Even
most of the
more impressive.
National award winners are working with tour pros. Like, for example, James Seekman. He's working with Stuart Sink, Tom Pernice, and many others. And as you can see, Stuart Sink had a wonderful showing here recently at the PGA. So he's doing some great work.
Yeah, as we're recording this, actually, it's the day after the 2018 PGA Championship, where Brooks Koepka held off a charging field that included Tiger just electrifying the crowd. That was amazing.
Yeah, that St. Louis crowd is awesome, it seems, and it was great to see Tiger back in the mix. I'm really excited about him coming back. It could be one of the greatest comebacks ever.
Yeah, if he comes all the way back and ends up winning another major, that truly would be one for the ages, no question about it. And I don't even know if it mattered that it was St. Louis, although they're great sports fans there. But I've dealt with the baseball side of their sports fans, and they are great fans. But Tiger making a charge the way he did, having 10 putts on the front nine, I think no matter where that was played, the crowd would have gone out of their mind on a Sunday at a major.
He sure stiffened those irons, wasn't he? That was awesome.
Man, that
was just control that driver.
Yeah, well, he started hitting him in the back, but to be able to play the way he did and not hit the fairway was just an inspiration for crappy golfers everywhere.
Well, that kind of leads us to the short game, doesn't it? Which I think
it really
so
does.
Important.
Yeah, let's talk about the short game.
Well, obviously putting, I just got done teaching the Nike Junior Golf Camps for, let's see, 3 consecutive weeks, and I was teaching putting 3 hours a day, and when you're teaching that much about one specific thing, you really kind of drill down deeply, and but one of the things I always come to are what I call the four principles of putting. And number one, you have to read the putt correctly, and that key word is correctly. Is it uphill, downhill? Is it up grain, down grain? Is it break right, left? So there's a lot of elements that go into reading the putt correctly. The second one is you have to be able to aim correctly. And that sounds easy. A lot of players think that they aim correctly, even tour pros, and they're not. I have a friend named John Graham who's a PGA putting coach, PGA Tour putting coach. That's all he does is putting coach for PGA players. And he says most PGA pros are not aimed up correctly, but he doesn't say anything about it because he doesn't want them to go mental on them. So his big thing is, the next principle is, does the ball start on the correct line? And again, the key word there is correct. So he'll have him hit like 4 or 5 footers just to see if the ball starts in the correct line. They may not aim correctly, but they may be getting the ball in the correct line based on 2 things, and that is the path and the putter face. So a lot of times people will compensate on how they read the green or how they aim based on their path and their putter face. I think that's interesting that somebody, how they read a green will be affected by their path and their putter face. So in other words, they're compensating to, they may under-read putts, and as a result, they do it on purpose in order to accommodate their path or their putter face. And then the fourth principle is the correct speed. So everything outside that is kind of style. You know, you can have any type of grip, you can have a closed stance, you can have an open stance, but you have to have those four principles. Again, you have to read the putt correctly, and in my mind, you should aim correctly as a common base. Especially junior players, they should learn how to aim correctly. And then three, start the ball on the correct line. And four is to have the correct speed. So that's how I base my teaching method when it comes to putting.
You seem to be repeating the word correct every time. But I sense that in putting, especially with speed, it's such a feel thing. How do you teach correct?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
Brad Faxon, well, you probably know Alan Shipnuck, right? He's a Sports Illustrated writer?
No, actually, I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay. Anyway, he interviews several different tour pros and teaching pros, and he's a great writer. And he said that he interviewed Brad Faxon once, and he asked Brad, what would you consider the most important thing in putting? And he thought he was going to get this, you know, incredible gold nugget. And Brad said, to stay in posture. And so that sounds really easy, but I think if you just stay in posture, and Gary Player was adamant about this too, is just to lock your head down and just stay there and wait until the turkey gobbles, you know, wait until the ball goes in the hole. And you become very aware of, you become sensitized to the pace and the length of your stroke. And that's, if you're coming out of posture, you're so glued to the ball, you're looking up real quick, you're not going to be aware of how well you stroked it or your path or your putter face. So I think that's how you get an awareness of, well, that was correct or that was not correct, by just staying down and getting a kinesthetic feel of, okay, that was a good putt, that was a good stroke. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because I've definitely noticed that my head follows the ball off the club face when I'm putting. I've been trying really hard to keep my head down on my full swing, but then I started noticing, oh, wow, my head is just moving along with the ball, and sometimes it gets ahead of it. And keeping the head down the whole time.
I would almost like to see it the opposite. I like to see their head move more in their full swing, so that their pivot drives to the target, mm-hmm. and they don't get their head stuck down the ground, their arms go, you know, across their body. I like to see them turn in the full swing and let their head go. It's really about staying in your pelvic tilt, maintaining your posture as far as your spine angle. But I think people almost keep their head down too long in their full swing, and in their putting stroke, they bring it up too much too quickly. And I like to see them stay in their posture with their putting stroke longer. So it's the opposite of what most people think.
Wow. But you said that, like, keep your head down until you hear the ball hit, you know, go in the hole.
Yeah.
That's got to be really hard.
That's really hard.
Really hard. And so can you move your eyes?
I'm sorry?
Can you move your eyes? Can you follow the ball with your eyes or not? Or just focus on where the ball was?
You got to keep your eyes there. And that's another thing. I like this idea of the soft eye. In other words, your eyes are on the ball, but it's a soft eye. It's not a locked in there. You're just kind of gazing at the ball, but you're more aware, your peripheral vision. You're not watching the club head. You're watching the ball. But your peripheral vision, you're using that to kind of gauge, am I staying in the right path? And is the putter face swinging? Do I have nice rotation? So, there, you know, it's not a hard eye. It's a soft eye on the ball. But you're trying to be aware of what you can control, and that is that putting stroke. Does that make sense?
I'm kind of stuck on when you said, is the putter face swinging?
Okay, well, let's talk about that. So if putting was a perfect side saddle method, like Sam Snead, okay, you putt it from the side, the lying old putter would be 90 degrees, right? It'd be straight up and down, perpendicular to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Most putters are built with 72 degrees of lie. So therefore, the putter swings, it rotates. And if it was a perfect robot, it would swing 18 degrees because it would complement 72 plus 18 is 90. So you would have a perfect rotation of 18 degrees. Now, most people don't rotate nearly that much. Tiger rotates a lot, by the way.
On his putting?
On his putting. There's a lot of rotation in his putting, in his putter. Now,
you mean from front, from in the backstroke through, or explain
yes,
that?
On both sides. There's an equal amount of rotation. There's a lot of rotation.
Wow. Okay.
Now, most people rotate much less than that. So again, coming back to my friend John Graham, there's a lot of people that are much less, a lot of people that are more. So there's essentially what I kind of call the Dave Stockton way of putting, which is the handle leads more. So the putter face is the putter face is quote unquote staying more square. It's really not, but it's the handle is leading. And the back of the left wrist controls the putter face.
Okay.
So that's one style. And then the other style would be more like a Stan Utley, where he believes that the putter head should swing more. So there's more rotation there. So these two kind of camps of putting, you'll see on the PGA Tour, like for example, Phil Mickelson, he's more of a handle leading or a Dave Stockton type. He likes to have the back of his right hand because he's left-handed. The back of his right hand control the putter face, and the handle is leading. And then you'll see, you saw Adam Scott. He was really struggling with that. Do you see how he had the short putter on the putting green, and he was trying to get his putter head to swing more?
I don't know if
you saw it.
No, I missed that.
Yeah, well, after the round on Saturday, he was out with a short putter. In fact, he carried two putters in his bag, by the way. He carried a long one and a short one. He was trying to get the feeling of his putter head swinging more because he's more of a pendulum type putter where the putter head is swinging.
Well, doesn't he use the long putter still?
Yeah, he still uses that long putter.
Well, I mean, if he carries two putters in his bag, what does he sacrifice? What does he not carry? That's so interesting.
I don't know. He's obviously sacrificing one club in his bag.
Yeah.
That's essentially, those are two different camps of putting, and some are advocates of one or the other. John Graham, he feels, okay, if my player is missing the ball left of the hole, then I tell him, okay, I need your handle to lead more. So, he's not getting so much rotation. If his player is missing the ball to the right of the hole, he'll say, hey, I need your putter head to swing more. So he doesn't advocate one camp or the other. He concerns himself with, is the ball starting on the correct line? That's that third principle.
Right.
And he doesn't even get to, does the player have the correct aim? Because those tour players, they're out for the next paycheck, right? They just want to get the ball starting on the correct line.
Is it really more about getting it on the line and getting at the speed and not thinking about the hole at all? I mean, do amateurs focus too much on the hole?
I think they concern themselves too much about the ball and the hole.
Explain yourself.
And I think you just need to focus on what you can control.
Mm.
That old saying, just focus on what you can control. It's right there. It's just that 12 inches. And I think if you just do some drills, and we can talk about that. Drills that will help you might be get yourself a carpenter chalk line, find yourself a straight putt, and snap the line, and then draw a line on the ball or use the line that's already on the ball, match it with the chalk line, and then get up there and make sure the line on your putter matches the ball and the chalk line, and then see if that looks weird to you or not, and then make some strokes. See if your path and your putter face, the ball, rolls down that chalk line or not. If it's not, and you've aimed correctly, it's one of two things. It's either path or putter face, right? If it's a straight in putt and you got and you lined up correctly and the ball doesn't start on the correct line, you know it's either path or putter face. It's got to be one of the two things.
Interesting.
So that's one drill I really recommend, is just to see if you're aimed up.
Okay.
Another thing is, you know, a lot of people have hardwood floors. There's lines in the hardwood floor. See if you can line your putter line, the line that's on the back of the putter or the top of it, and line it up with the line on your wood floor, and then put a hole out there about 3 or 4 feet and say, does that look weird to me? And I bet you it does. 8 out of 10 people will say, wow, that looks way closed, or that looks way open. So wow. Simple things like that. It's not faulty. It's like Ben Doyle told me. He says, it's not faulty eyesight. It's faulty perception of what you think is real.
Wow. That's huge. Listen, before we move on, let me just ask you a quick question. And that is, do you have any Peter Millar golf clothes in your closet?
Oh, yeah. I got a few of them. I love them. They're great quality.
Aren't they?
Yeah, they really are.
And just, they're so comfortable.
Yeah, I like, you can tell by the fabric how soft it is, and you can see that the stitching's more higher density.
Yeah, well, so let's talk about Peter Millar Golf. Peter Millar was founded in 2001 with a single sweater, a cashmere sweater, but they've grown into a premium American lifestyle brand featuring a wide range of casual sportswear, tailored menswear, and luxury performance golf apparel. And that's what I really love to talk about, is the performance golf apparel. And I just want to say that Peter Millar's comfort, fit, quality, and style are all setting a standard in menswear today. You're a golfer. That's why you're listening to this podcast. You know the name Peter Millar Golf. And if you don't, you should, because Peter Millar is all about quality, value, and style. Right now, I'm actually wearing my Peter Millar performance shorts. These shorts are moisture wicking, breathable, quick dry, and they have a stretch waistband, so they move with you, which is so great for golf. So check them out. Please go to petermillar.com/golfsmarter, and you'll get to a page that is got some of my favorites on there. They've been asking me what I think, and I've been sharing with them, and they've been posting it on this custom landing page here. And when you use this link, you'll receive complimentary shipping and a free Peter Millar hat when you order today. That's petermillar.com/golfsmarter. Millar is M-I-L-L-A-R. petermillar.com/golfsmarter. Okay, man. Thank you for your endorsement there. Peter Millar clothes. I'm becoming a big
I'm happy to. They're good shirts.
Yeah, shirts, I'm the pants and the shorts, I'm just becoming a bigger and bigger fan. Every time I have to put clothes on, it's like, oh, I got my Peter Millar clothes I can go to. let's go back to the putting drills. I'm just so curious about that, but let me ask you one question first. Do you have a putter preference? I mean, is there a head or a shaft or, you know, a weighting? What kind of putter do you like? Do you like heel shafted, center shafted, or does it not matter?
Well, I have a Scotty Cameron that's kind of like it's a Newport, and it doesn't have any offset to it. It's just straight. I think it depends a little bit on the putting style. Like we talked about, there's more of a putter head swinging, and then there's more of a handle leading. So the handle leading type of putting stroke or putter would be, if you were to balance your putter on your finger, the putter face would be straight up, like a mallet putter. So that would be more conducive of less rotation. And then if you balance your putter and your point's like 45 degrees, it's kind of not straight down, but it's not straight up, then that has some rotation. And then if it's straight down, like an 8802, like Ben Crenshaw putted with, that encourages a ton of rotation. So try to find a putter that's conducive to your style of putting. You need to figure out, are you more of a putter head swinger type of putter, or are you more of a handle leader type of putter?
How?
Like,
how do you figure that out?
Well, you, like, for example, if I'm a cross-handed putter, you know, left hand low from right-handed, then obviously that's a handle leader, like the Jordan Spieth. He's a handle leader. I would look at different tour pros. You know, Jordan Spieth is a handle leader. Phil Mickelson, he's a handle leader. Rory McIlroy, handle leader. Tiger, more of a toe swinger. But I would try both ways. The Orange Whip Company has this thing called the Magic Wand, which I really like. And it's basically a flexible shaft with a putter head on the end. And it makes you kind of swing the head and feel the flex in the shaft. So you could try something like that. It's a great teaching tool. I use it all the time. And I would just try to feel the putter head swing and think of the grip staying at your belly button and say, is that my style or do I like the left hand? Again, if I'm a right-handed putter, do I like the left hand to feel like it's part same as the club face and the handle's leading? So I would, you know, try both extremes. Do I like lots of rotation and have that handle of the putter point at my belly button like a pendulum while the head swings ahead? Or am I one where I like the back of my left wrist, kind of like a cross-handed putting? Do I like that feeling of the handle leading versus the putter head swinging ahead of the hands? Does that make sense?
I think so. I hope
so. Just, one way is to feel the putter head, the weight of the putter head itself, swinging back and swinging through. So the handle is not moving nearly as much, right? It's
okay.
Pointing at the belly button the whole time, while the putter head is swinging on both back and through, and you can feel the weight of the putter head itself. And the handle stays relatively quiet while the head is swinging much more than the handle. But if I'm a handle leading type of putter, then that handle's really moving a lot more. Can you visualize that?
Yeah, and I'm thinking, does Live View Golf help you see that? Because you may not be able to see it objectively.
Yep, it would be great. Live View Golf, you have the iPad in front of you, and I used it for, like I said, the Nike Junior Golf Camps. I ran everybody through there, and I showed them their putting stroke to make sure that they were on plane, you know, and you know, whether they came off the plane or their putter face was open, they could see that. But it's a tremendous tool for people. A lot of times people just are totally unaware of what they actually do, and that's what the camera is good for.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's live. You know, it's right there. It's not like, okay, friend, could you take a video of me? And then you go back and you take a view of your video camera, right? But this is actually live. While you're doing it, you could see yourself.
Right. But your head's not down. Because you're looking at your iPad, which is on the floor in front of you, right?
Yeah. And then you can go back and take a look at it. Oh, there's my head. It moved too quickly.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's really cool.
So you know this, some other drills, if you don't mind my saying?
Actually, that was my next question. How about some other drills in our last few minutes?
Well, we have, you know, there's a lot of debate on this, but generally the consensus is anywhere from 12 to 18 inches by the hole is where the range should be in order for it to be the proper speed. Now, obviously, the slower it's going, it has more chance of going in the hole. But in order for the ball to hold its line and still probably go in the hole if it were to hit the hole, there's again, there's debate from 12 to 18 inches by the hole. So what I've done, I call it the egg basket. So I'll put ball markers that are 12 inches on each side of the hole, and then I put behind the hole a ball marker that's 18 inches to give, you know, people some flexibility, some air there. So, and then I'll make this kind of like, it almost looks like a basketball backboard shape. So it'll be like 14 inches, 16 inches. And then again, at the very back of the hole, it's 18 inches. So I put this kind of basket and then you go out and putt from different distances, like 15 feet, 20 feet, 25 feet, 30 feet. And your goal is to get it within the basket, which is the ball markers that are around the hole in the shape of this backboard. So if you knock it in, you get 2 points. And if you knock it within the ball markers, you get a point. Anything outside that, you don't get any points. So that's a great way to sense speed. And if you do that continuously, weekly, I think you'll find that your distance control gets really good. Another way of doing that is the right hand. Only put the right hand on the putter and stroke it, because the right hand is what senses speed. The left hand is more conducive of the putter face, but the right hand is what applies the amount of pressure in order to get the ball to roll a certain speed. So try that with right hand only, and again, try it from different distances, and you'll find that your distance control becomes a lot more, a lot better.
Ooh, that's huge.
Yeah, and that's that fourth principle is the correct speed.
Right.
And then I have some other drills, and I call it the 5-point drill, and that is you've seen players, like, they'll put a tee on the toe of their putter and a toe on the heel of their putter. And then, Tiger does that drill a lot where he's putting, he's trying to get his putter head to go through the gateway, and that's about the path, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I also put another two tees about maybe 12 to 18 inches out, where I want the ball to go through that gateway. So that has to do with the putter face, because I could have my putter head go through the path, but if my putter face isn't square, the ball won't go through that gateway. So I put another gateway that's a little wider than the ball itself, about 18 inches out. And then if it's a left to right breaker, let's say it breaks an inch, I'll put another tee just to the left of the hole where I'm trying to get the ball to start, and then I'll see the ball go in the hole. So I call it the 5-point drill.
I like it. That's really good. I like that a lot.
Can you picture that?
Yeah. No, very well. Thank you.
Yeah,
good description.
You got two tees for the putter head, two tees for the ball, and you got another tee for the break, whether it be a right to lefter or left to righter. And I try to make sure I work on both sides of the hole, right and left, so that I don't get, I'm comfortable with both types of breaks.
Okay.
Especially right-handed putters have a tendency to have trouble with left or right breakers.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't let the putter face rotate enough. They're trying to kind of steer it into the hole, and they don't let the putter face rotate enough, so they leave it below the hole. So that's something you got to really train yourself, is to let that putter head rotate so that you don't leave it out below the hole.
Yeah, I definitely noticed times where it's going to be an inside to out break, meaning it's going to start, towards my body and then go away from my body. I definitely noticed that there's more of a tendency for me to force the club face, force the line when it's going in to out versus the break of the mm-hmm. ball going out to in towards the cup, back towards the body.
So, and I want to just, there's another drill, and I would, if you have time, I'd like to talk a little bit about the wedge game itself too, and how
I think we're going to
a lot of over.
We're going to reschedule. We're going to have to reschedule to do wedge play later. Let's stay with putting today, because
okay.
We're already past our quote unquote, air quote limit. So
okay.
But I wanted to ask you one more thing, is that I've noticed for myself and for a couple of my playing partners that on the short putts, when you have just a very little back and through, that pulling back, it seems to be a little more jittery because you're trying so hard to hold it steady that the club head will jitter, the whole putter will jitter a little more. I don't know if jitter is the right word, versus a longer putt where it's a nice even backstroke and through. Have you ever seen that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think that's just because people get too deliberate. And again, they're not letting, I think their pace of their stroke is too slow.
Mm.
I see that a lot. The most common fault is people's putting stroke. If there was no ball there, it should be fairly even on both sides, both the pace and the length of it. Mm-hmm. And then because the ball is in the way, a certain amount of energy is imparted into the ball. Therefore, the follow-through should be slightly shorter. But time and time again, I see people go back too slow and too short. Mm. That's what I see the most.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, if you're short, then they over-accelerate and their follow-through is too long. So they're over-accelerating.
Uh-huh.
They're not letting the putter head really swing. Or their handle lead in an even pace. So I think that's the most common faults I see is the putter head going back too short and too slow.
Yep. Totally get it. Wow. All right.
I see too long in the backstroke, and then I see this big deceleration because their mind subconsciously knows they took it back too far, and they have to slow down in order for the ball to go at the correct speed.
Yeah, I played with a guy last week, and definitely he had a very big backswing and then decelerated all the way down. I don't know how he was able to control his speed doing it that way.
And another one I see a lot is when people get over a putt and they take some practice strokes, and it's nothing like what the putt itself demands. They take like these big, long strokes. It's like, why are you doing that? I mean, that is nothing that, it's not even close to the putt you're about ready to hit. So that's really important too, is the whole purpose of the practice stroke is to get yourself ready for the putt you're about ready to hit. So focus on pace and focus on length. Try to make your pace and your length even on both sides. And when you get up to the putt, stay in your posture and just focus on that. Once you get your line, let it go. Just focus on what you can control, and that is the pace and the length.
Josh Zander was on the show recently. I'm sure you know Josh, being in the middle part of California.
Mm-hmm.
He said that when you're taking your practice strokes, don't look at the ball, look at the hole, so you can get a feel of how large of a stroke. How do you feel about that?
I think that's great. I think also what I have a routine that I have all my juniors do, and that is they get behind the ball, they mark it, they clean it, and they approximate the line on the ball where they think it should read, mm-hmm. and then they step it off as well, and they say 8 steps. They go to the other side, they look at the other side, and then they come back to the middle of the putt, halfway between the hole and the ball, and they say, 4 steps out, and they look at the hole, and they look at the ball, they look back and forth, and while they're doing that, they're taking practice strokes to feel the length of the stroke, because it's much easier to consider distance from the side than it is from behind. So it's like if I held a pencil up to you and I pointed it right at you and I said, how long is this pencil? But if I turned it around and sideways and I said, how long is this pencil? You would have a better judge of distance or length. So I always recommend go to the side, and particularly the low side versus the high side, and see how long is this putt? How much speed do I need How much pressure on the ball do I need, particularly with my right hand, in order to control the speed?
Awesome. That's phenomenal advice. I really appreciate that. That's what I love about doing this, is that it's for me. It's like I just got a great free lesson there.
Well, I know pace of play is a huge thing, so make sure you can do that and time yourself. Make sure you can do it within 60 seconds.
Oh, you have been watching me play.
I have a timer out for my juniors, and I say, all right, go. And they have to go up to it, mark it, clean it, put it back down, walk to the hole, walk behind it, look at the line, go to the side, and then from there go back, readjust it, the line on the ball according to what they see is fit, and then they pick up their marker, then they take a practice stroke, and then they have to hit it within 60 seconds.
Yikes. That would be a tough one for me, I think.
It's easy. It's actually It's very efficient.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Yeah, I got to practice that one. Absolutely. All right, if people want to get in touch with you directly, what's the best way to track you down? And do you give online lessons? I mean, if people from different parts of the country want to reach out to you and talk about putting help.
Sure, they can email me. My email is pparishgolf@gmail.com.
Okay.
That's double P-A-R-R-I-S-H golf at gmail.com. Again, that's double P-A-R-R-I-S-H golf at gmail.com.
Awesome. Thank you for the update on Live View Golf as well, and congratulations on your awards. Really,
thank you.
Great having you back on the show, man.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Fred. Let's do it again.
All righty, it's time to announce the winner of this week's giveaway. But first, I want to tell you about the next prize that you can register for right now. Last week in episode 651, Catherine Roberts told us of her passion to provide every golfer with more flexibility and less body pain. And now she wants to focus that energy on you. That positive energy that she has, she wants to focus it on you, because Catherine is giving one lucky Golf Smarter listener a live remote coaching session. Now, this again is what I love about getting these teachers involved and these instructors involved in our giveaways, because if you have Skype, you can have a conversation with them no matter where you are in the world, and it's as long as you're on your Wi-Fi, it's not going to cost you anything, nor does it cost them. So it's just an amazing hour of time that you can get with one of these teachers, including Catherine Roberts. So remember, there's no need to worry if you miss our weekly deadline, because once you register, you're still eligible to win next week and beyond, because it's a random drawing. Plus, you can win more than once, because it's a random drawing. Deadline to enter is Sunday at midnight Pacific time, 3 a.m. Eastern. So if you haven't yet, enter to win at golfsmarter.com/giveaway, or follow at golfsmarter for the links I've posted on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Now, this week's prize is the 8 Champion Personality Traits for Golf Assessment, a half-hour review, and professional advice courtesy of John Stabler of golfpsych.com. Immediately after returning from my Mexico vacation, where you can actually see one of the most beautiful holes in golf on Instagram at Golf Smarter, the 17th hole at TPC Donzante Bay. I've played Pebble Beach, but the 17th hole at TPC Donzante Bay in just south of Loreto, Mexico, is probably one of the most spectacular views I've ever seen, and one of the most challenging holes, because the green's so small and it's going in the wrong direction. But check out the video on that if you haven't yet. And then please join me on Instagram and Twitter at Golf Smarter, and so we can have that conversation. Oh, yeah. You want to know who won? Okay. Well, we did a random drawing, and the winner is Wayne Mills of Lindell Beach, British Columbia, Canada. Congratulations, Wayne, and thank you so much for continuing to listen to Golf Smarter and participating. For all the details on the prizes and rules of the weekly giveaway going through the end of 2018, head over to golfsmarter.com/giveaway. And if you have any comments or suggestions, use at Golf Smarter on Twitter or Instagram, or write to me directly by clicking on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.